Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of A Real Point of View. I'm your host, Greg Morgan, and I'm joined by my co-host, the must-see movies film critic, Mr. Larry Domkowski, and the movie maven, Ms. Karen D. Hey, Karen. Hey, Larry. How you guys doing?
Hey.
Hey, Larry. Glad you're feeling a little better to be able to hang out with us today. I know you've been kind of not too good, so.
My pleasure.
Well, before we get started,
how's everybody?
We're doing pretty good. At least I'm doing pretty good. How about you, Karen?
I'm doing well. Happy that the Three Musketeers are at it again. I mean, the three movie critics. You know what I mean.
The three musty critics? Is that what you just said?
The three, yes, no. Money critics, yes. That's exactly what I said.
Three musky. Okay. Well, that's us.
He's saying musky, you're saying money, I'm just saying us. So, before we get started, I'd like to take a moment to congratulate Jeannie Deez. He's this year's winner of the Television Arts Foundation's Fred Rogers Memorial Award for his work with children's education in television. So, tonight, I'd like our subject to really focus on what I think is a really good situation as far as our themes go. In recent years, black leading men have truly come into their own in Hollywood, and Hollywood has taken notice. And basically, we know this by the increase in the different roles that are out there that have been available to African-American leading men. Therein lies a paradox, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The African-American leading men are actually being given these roles that they've been trying to attain that Hollywood has been so gracious to offer, have actually been offered to their counterparts, the Brits. So our theme today is black leading men in Hollywood, but it's the British invasion. So we'll focus on three such actors that's a part of this British invasion, and that's Idris Elba, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and David Oyelowo. Basically, they've made their mark in American film especially of late. Now, what I'd like to do first is to start myself, and I'd like to introduce when I actually came into knowledge of these particular actors. For Idris Elba, I saw him for the first time on the HBO series The Wire, which Karen has an affinity with. Chiwetel Ejiofor, I saw him in Red Belt. And David Oyelowo, the first time I saw him was in director Ava DuVernay's earlier films, one of her earlier films, and that's The Middle of the Road. So why don't we start with you, Karen? I have a question. How about you? What is it about these actors, or better yet, why don't we do like I did? Tell us when you were introduced to these actors, and then, of course, you'll do the same again when we get to you, Larry. How's that?
Okay.
Sounds like a
plan.
Okay, Karen.
For me, like you, Gregory, I first learned of Idris Elba from the TV series The Wire. And you mentioned that I have an affinity with The Wire, and I do, and that I actually appeared in the pilot episode. Now, Idris Elba was not introduced until later, so I never got a chance to meet him on the set. But, you know, but of course he had a really pivotal role. It was a major role. I wish I had gotten a chance to meet him. So that's the first time I became acquainted with the body of his work. With Chiwetel Ejiofor, I actually first noticed him long before his roles in movies. I noticed him from a British series that made it across the pond on BBC America. It was a series called Trust. And it was a short-lived series, but he played a corporate lawyer, an antitrust lawyer, in that series. And I thought he was excellent even then, and I think he was only in his 20s when he did that series. For David Oyelowo, I actually didn't become aware of his work until The Butler, Lee Daniels' The Butler. And he was certainly, the role that he played in that movie was certainly garnered him a lot of notice. He did very well there, and so it was easy to sort of keep an eye on him to see what else he would do because he was so good in that role.
How about you, Larry?
Well, as far as Idris Elba, I first became very aware of him in the BBC series called Luther, where he plays Detective John Luther. Just outstanding. More than convincible. He was a very... good at that role, and I just inhaled it. That started in 2010, and then of course his work with the Thor movies and Prometheus. But my first real thing was in that first season there of Luther. I became a fan of the show. I've seen every episode. I enjoyed it very much. As far as Chiwetel, I go back to 97 and his portrayal of Ensign Covey in Amistad. He did a very good job. And I knew at that moment that this was an actor that I needed to follow. And then, as far as how do you pronounce his last name?
Oyelowo.
Thank you. And it's a tongue twister for me, and I apologize for that. I really became. Focused on him in a movie called Red Tails, came out 3 years back in 2012, where he plays Joe Lightning Little. He did a darn good job in that film. I don't know if you've seen that film, Greg. I think you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen that one, Karen.
Yeah.
But Red Tails is about it's a World War II film about a World War II aces. It stars Cuba Gooding Jr. It doesn't rate very highly. There's a lot of technical mistakes with the film, not with the storytelling of the film, and some of the camera work makes things look a little bit sappy, and so do some of the script. Some of the script make it sound a little sappy, but he did a good job, and I thought a very convincing job in that film.
Now, other films that we've seen these actors in, I know David Oyelowo, I saw him in Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise, and he did a really good job of the film, even though he plays a character that you really don't like, and because he did such a good job, I really, really didn't like him. So.
And you like everybody, don't you, Greg?
Now, both of you have seen the movie The Help, didn't you?
Yes.
And he was Preacher Green in The Help.
Right.
Yeah, and then another role that I noticed him in, what was it? No, I can't think of it. Okay, moving on. But Idris Elba, I know what it was. Idris Elba and David Oyelowo did a film together. Chiwetel Ejiofor and Idris Elba did a movie together with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
Yes. Which movie that was?
American Gangster.
Yeah.
Gangster. both of them in that movie, although Idris Elba's role was short-lived, it was a really good role for him in that movie. And then, of course, I like Idris Elba in pretty much everything I've seen him in. He's done Mandela. He's done a movie that's kind of a gangster movie where he actually, his real Cockney accent comes out, which is Takers.
Right.
He's in another one-word movie. He's also in Losers. In both films, his Cockney comes out. So real good actor, really getting out there in a lot of different things. And then, of course, Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think it was Talk Radio with Don Cheadle. He did Inside Man.
He was excellent
Man,
in that movie.
Yeah, very good
he
job.
He played the brother Petey Green in that movie. He was so good.
Yeah, he's in 2012, another good movie. So, again, these actors are really out there into these great films. Now, surely there are actors here in this country that are well-versed and to play these roles that we've seen these British counterparts get, and that's excluding Denzel and Forrest Whitaker and what. So I kind of put together a list, and I think Karen and I talked about this a little bit, some actors that I think could have easily done some of these roles that they've done in some of these pictures. So I was thinking, Karen had mentioned to me, Will Smith, for example, or Jamie Foxx, Michael Ealy, Anthony Mackie, Omar Epps, and the aforementioned Don Cheadle, Mekhi Phifer, and a really up-and-coming actor who also was in a movie with David Oyelowo in Middle of the Road, which is Omari Hartwick, who's now
you mean
in the
Middle
series.
Of Nowhere, Greg?
In the Middle of Nowhere, I'm sorry, correct, thank you. In the Middle of Nowhere, they're both in that film, and Omari Hartwick is in a TV series now called Power, which he's doing a wonderful job. So my question to you guys is, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, how come these guys aren't worthy of getting these same films that these guys seem to be able to find? You know, when in Hollywood, it's hard to find films as it is, no matter where you are in your acting career. So why is it that these guys come over the pond, as it were, and are getting these hallowed roles, we'll say? Any thoughts on that?
Well, we've got thoughts. Who gets to have thoughts first, Larry? Greg?
You do.
Really? Seriously? Okay. Well, let me see. I've been wondering that myself. I think that's a very good question, Gregory. And I don't really have an answer. What I really have are just sort of my own theories. And some of them, I think, just relate to bankability. And to me, I think Hollywood still is sort of enamored with Anglos, with the English, with royalty, with that lovely accent and those dulcet tones. I think there's, and to me, actors who are English or to a lesser extent Australian almost get a pass in terms of, you know, the standards that American actors, white or black, are likely to be held to in terms of box office production, being able to green light projects, being able to produce and that sort of thing. You know, the other thing is that, like for Idris Elba, he was somewhat of a known quantity before he became a quote-unquote, you know, movie star on the in the American circuit. He was a very well-known stage actor in England, and he does a lot to produce his own work, which just helps you immensely if you want to promote your own career. I think Chiwetel Ejiofor also has a storied stage career on the London stage. And, you know, his technique is impeccable, and it just makes it really easy for these people to work with these people. But there are just other things I just can't explain. I mean, I don't envision American black actors going over to England and getting the kinds of roles that African British actors get here. I mean, maybe it happens, but I'm not aware of it. I don't think the English share a love of the American accent in the way that Americans seem to just love the English accent. So I don't quite know what's going on. I think there are American actors who are every bit as good and as talented and could do the roles that these actors have gotten. But that being said, I wouldn't trade those performances for the performances of any of these other people, even though they are as worthy. Because they're, as far as I'm concerned, especially Chiwetel Ejiofor, he's brilliant. He was brilliant in Kinky Boots, which is my favorite movie with him, in which he played a transsexual dancer who basically needed a good pair of shoes. And he was brilliant in that film, and it would be hard to imagine that person is the same person who was in 12 Years a Slave, the same person who was an American Gangster. You know, he's just amazing. And I think he's probably like the best of the three, really, because he has like the best body of quality work, film work behind him, I think even more so than Idris Elba. Idris Elba's been in some clunkers, if you ask me. American Gangster was a great film. He was also in Enchanted April, but Daddy's Little Girls, which was like a so-so movie. In my opinion, he was pretty marginalized in the Thor movies. I mean, he had this role where he could use his lovely voice, but his character didn't mean that much to the movement of the story. It's kind of like they stuck it there. He was the typical authority figure that didn't really have any impact on anybody else. So, I could pass that. That wasn't life-changing. But in The Wire, oh, my God, he was amazing. So it's not like the man can't act. He can act. He's amazing. But in terms of the actor that could show the most range and the most incredible diversity of roles, I think Chiwetel Ejiofor gets it, and definitely more so than David Oyelowo. I think David Oyelowo was wonderful in Selma. I loved him in that movie. Middle of Nowhere, I think he did a very good acting job, but it's not the greatest movie in the world. It was good. But not life-changing. I think he was terrific in The Butler. I really loved him in that. And The Help, he wasn't to me quite as memorable, but he was amazing in The Butler. So I think all of these actors are brilliant. I would love to see more of them. But that being said, I don't know why we need to see them at the expense of American actors who are just as deserving and just as talented.
So, Karen, do you have an opinion?
No, I don't. I have no idea what's going on.
Since you don't really have anything to say and put forth out there, why don't we go ahead and let Larry give it a try? But all kidding aside, Karen, I agree. And it's kind of hard because it would be different if they were slugs. and they weren't very good at what they were doing. Just wondering myself, how come the opportunity, because these films are being made over here, how come the opportunity has either not been given, passed by, or was it that these opportunities were available to these gentlemen and they passed them by? Because we know that happens too. And
right.
Now our...
I'd like to add something here.
And
that is that in most of these films, not all of them that they've been in, but in most of these films, the character they play is somebody from a foreign country. And you know the old adage, if they're from a if it's an American film and the character's from a foreign country, give them a British accent. And it happens time and time again. It's an honor tradition that should go away. But nonetheless, it still happens, and it seems to make them, oh, they're British, so they must be from out of town. And it happens time in films where there aren't any people of color. They'll still, how many movies do we see Russell Crowe in because, gosh darn it, he's got a British accent, even though he's playing American or somebody else. So this is something that we see a lot. It's an old practice. It's a practice from the days of the studio systems, and we don't need it anymore. So I'm with you, Karen, on that. On the other hand, though, there are films, for instance, with Idris Elba, that he just did such a great job, and that was Mandela: Long Walk to Freedom. Could I have seen somebody else in that role? Possibly, but he made it his own, and he did a very good job. As far as other films that he was in that, you know, there could have been somebody else, well, sure, you know, the Thor movies, it could have been any imposing individual to play Heimdall would have been just fine. The role that he played in Prometheus, that could have been played by anybody. But the type of individual he was in that film, he made it uniquely his. So like you both agreed, these guys are not slackers. They really know what they're doing, and they really add a lot to the film. On the other hand, the American film world needs to open themselves up to a whole list of actors who are chewing the stages all around the country, and give these guys a real chance, because, frankly, there's more than just a couple of guys out there who really know how to act in front of a camera.
Right. That is so true. But I don't know. I think, you know, part of this, I mean, there's this anathema to risk in the American movie industry. There, when you're not talking about indies, there's just, I think, a crippling anathema to risk, unfortunately. And I think across the pond, there's less of that. So you see, if American producers are looking for somebody, you're more likely to see, I think, a British actor in a wider variety of roles, like, say, in British film or in British television, than you are likely to see American actors, especially when you're talking about American actors of color. And so when you see that, you're like, oh, wow, they can play this or that other thing. You know, oh, Chiwetel Ejiofor, yeah, I mean, yes, he can do transgender, or he can do lawyer, he can do, because you've seen him do it. But, you know, there aren't that many American actors, I think, of any color that you can name that have that wide diversity of work, because really, frankly, even if you win an Academy Award, you can be slotted into, you know, career death after that by only being offered certain types of roles that basically recreate that quote-unquote winning formula, as if people can catch lightning in a bottle twice, which they can't.
Well, that, And I think that you hit the nail right on the head. And the American film industry, they don't like to take risks. Their concept of risk means less money in the box office, and which means that they follow a formula, which means that the formula is based upon revenue. It's based upon how many seats that they can get filled, how many tickets they can sell. And, you know, who started that trend? Now, this is interesting. Who started that trend? Who started that way of doing business? It was George Lucas who did that with Jaws. Nobody wanted to pay for his movies, so he figured out a way to get the theaters to pay for it before it came out, and figured out a way of getting the movie to be paid off within the first weekend. And so what he did was, he knew the numbers. The numbers in Hollywood are very clear. This is how many seats you have to sell before the film starts making money. And so he made sure he booked that many theaters plus a percentage for the first week. And so rather than doing these slow, limited releases that eventually make their way around the country, his Jaws did it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed. That changed how Hollywood looked at motion pictures. So now it became, hey, we could take any film and open it in enough theaters the first night, the first weekend, and it will go into the black. And then after that, who cares?
Right. And American cinema has been suffering ever since.
That's right. And it's taken people like Robert Redford and what he's done with Sundance to say, hey, wait a second here. There's a lot of great films out here who don't follow into your thing, and we're going to showcase them here at Sundance. As a matter of fact, I mean, Sundance is you know, named off of a great character he had in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And it's about being a rebel. It's about being a criminal. It's about not following status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And so he named his festival well.
Yep.
And so I give him a lot of credit. Now, back to the African American question. This is something that we need to talk about more. And 1 week, one night is not going to be enough. There are scores, hundreds of talented African Americans who are not getting the chance that they deserve. And I think that there are a lot of films out there that some of them we reviewed right here on this show that pull some of these great gems out and say, hey, look what this guy is doing. You need to be aware of this guy, and you need to be aware of what's going on, and not only on actors, but their directors. And playwrights and film and
right.
Scriptwriters.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we need to understand that these people are out there and they're working hard and they're making themselves known. And for that, I applaud them. I applaud them dearly. And we need to give them a platform to speak. And frankly, I'm willing to do that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, sadly, our conversation has to come to an end, but I agree with you. Those situations that we need to address a little bit further down the road and give it some more credence, for sure. But I want to thank everybody out there in Radio Land for listening to us here on A Real Point of View. We thank you, and give us your comments. Let us know about what you think about our show. You can leave them at blogtalkradio.com and just reference our show, or you can leave comments at on Twitter at A Real Movie Guy, and also on Facebook at Facebook A Real Point of View. Again, thank you, and thanks Larry and Karen for your comments, and we look forward to talking together entertaining you guys out there in Radio Land. So thanks again, and make sure you get out to the movies. Have a good night.